Hands up, what sort of things do you like about parties or celebrations? Good hand up, y'all. Was it? Who was saying that? Cake. Did I hear cake? Oh, sorry. Cake. Which sort of cake? Anything. Easily pleased. Got to be chocolate. Fruit cake. Really? Icing. Oh, yeah. My mum does really hard icing, but it's lovely. Anyway, sorry. The kitchen. Oh, all the best parties happen in the kitchen. The best place to be. Yes, Adam. Ketchup and coffee cake. Yes. What do you like about parties? Balloons. I nearly bought some balloons today, but I didn't. I thought they'd end up there. Wow. Any more? Julia? Dancing. Do you want to have a go? Not like that. Okay. We like lots of things about parties, don't we? And two of my friends, Johnny and Marie, they like parties, and they're hopefully going to appear over here in just a second. So we'll find out a bit more from Johnny and Marie. Find out what sort of parties they've been into. What's been going on? Johnny and Marie, are you ready?
No, not yet.
Nearly. Go. Go. Hello, everyone. Go. You're looking good.
Hello.
Well, some of you. Oh, hi. Hi, Marie.
Hello.
Hey, Marie. Did you enjoy the party? Yeah, what a party!
No, Johnny, what party?
Hey, Marie, wasn't the clown funny?
There was a clown?
Yeah, and there were some fantastic games.
Oh, I like games.
And the disco was a laugh, watching Kate dance.
Oh, sounds like you had a great time.
Of course, but the food was the best. All that lovely chocolate cake.
Oh, yum, yum. Who was that?
What do you mean, who was there? You know who was there. Bert, Fred, Roger, Gabby, all your best mates, and your mum and dad.
My mum and dad?
Yeah, and your family, yeah.
What were they there for?
So, Marie, did you enjoy your surprise birthday party?
A surprise birthday party?
Yep.
I didn't have a surprise party.
Yes, you did. You really did. Oops. I knew I forgot to invite someone. Oh dear.
Johnny?
Yeah?
Hang on, let me get this straight.
Okay.
You organised a surprise party for me?
Yep.
You had a funny clown?
Yeah, really funny.
A disco?
Yeah!
Games?
Yeah, lovely games, great games.
Wonderful food?
No, brilliant, really yummy food. Yep.
But you forgot to invite me.
Yes. Sorry. Sorry.
Well, thanks a lot. I missed out because you forgot to invite me to my own birthday party.
Oh, Marie, I am sorry. I'm sorry. I was so busy getting everything ready that I forgot to invite you. Oh, dear. But I tell you what, Marie,
yeah?
I've just had this brilliant idea.
Oh.
I'm going to organise another wonderful party. It'll be even better than the first one. And I'll invite you first. That'll be the first thing I do. How does that sound?
Okay.
Cool. I better go. I've got a lot to get ready. Bye, everyone. Bye.
Oh, I'd better go and help him. I want to make sure it's the best party ever. Bye.
Bye. Let's give Johnny and Marie a round of applause. And a generate seal of approval. Oh, 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 oh. Goes like this, Pat. Oh, oh, oh. It's all right, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. Fancy not inviting the person whose birthday it was to the party. But you know, so often we go through our lives and we don't invite Jesus to be part of it. Whether we've made a decision to follow him or not, actually daily, sometimes we forget to invite Jesus to be a part of who we are, to be a part of what we do, to be a part of the choices and decisions that we make. God wants to be invited into our lives, and we need to remember to include him as part of that. Now, Jesus liked parties. He spoke an awful lot about parties, and he went to a few himself. And we're going to think about particularly two stories where there was a celebration at the end of it. We could have chosen lots of other ones. We're going to choose a couple. But it's interesting also that Jesus' life started, one of his ministries, one of the first things he did was went to a party in Cana. And when he died, he was there at the celebrations of the Passover. And so celebrations and parties, if you like, celebrations particularly is a key theme. And we're going to be thinking about that today. But the question we're going to ask ourselves, and you're going to have to do a bit of work today, which will really thrill some of you, is to say, when we look at these two, and they're both parables, when we look at these two, what does it tell us about what God is like? And secondly, what does it tell us about what God thinks of us? Okay? It's not necessarily going to be rocket science, but I think it might be a helpful, at least, reminder. We may come up with some other stuff as well. Now, the first of our stories, but you'll find out, is called The Farmer. I was out walking just the other day when I saw a man across the road, across the way. He was looking down. Wow. He was looking bad. He was looking like he'd lost the only friend he had. He said he was the farmer. He said he was the boss. He said he was the best sheep farmer that there was. But he'd gone and lost a lamb. It had run off in the heat. And all that was left were the droppings on the street. We headed out of town, searched the restaurants too, and looked for the places serving up lamb stew. We searched high and low till the day was getting dark and the wolves began to howl and the dogs began to bark. But he didn't give up, not a chance, not a shot. He was looking for that lamb like the only thing he'd got. And then at last, what a shock, what a fright, when he heard this bleating come a-beating through the night. It's a good sheep. We found this lamb a-quaking in a rut with his nose all bashed and his ears all cut. And the farmer, he just reached down from above and he picked up the lamb and he gave him a hug. And his big old eyes, they filled with tears. He'd found his sheep and he'd lost his fears. And as I strode home, I thought about the lamb, and I thought about the day, and I thought about the man. And I said to myself, as I raised my hat, I hope somebody cares for me like that. Give Daniel a big round of applause. And a whoop. Thank you, Daniel. You'll recognise that story and some sort of bit of a recap will come there. What I'm going to encourage you to do now is to answer those two questions. What does that story tell us about what God is like? And what does that story tell us about what God thinks of us? So you're going to get in groups of, no, you're not. You're going to, where you are, if you like, you just turn to the people. You can have a group of just a pair, or you can do it on your own, or you can do it in a small group. Just try and answer those questions. What does this story tell us about what God is like? And what does this story tell us about what God thinks of us? Go. We've got about 3 minutes. Would anyone like to offer any thoughts about it? You don't have to. Anyone like to offer any thoughts about that story and about what God might be like? What that tells us about what God's like? Yes. God doesn't give up on us. Yeah, fantastic. God doesn't give up on us. Yes, sir. Say that one more time. God cares for us. Not just one person, did you say that? But all of us. That is right. A lot of people miss the story about actually just thinking it's the one sheep, but actually it's the 99 as well. So that is very, very, very good. Well done. Thank you. Any other thoughts? Yeah. Good point. I think, you know, in that sense is that the God is there, isn't it? You absolutely are. God is there always, but maybe sometimes we, like that lost sheep example, we just drift off. Not that God doesn't see where we are, not that God doesn't see where we are or know where we are, but actually there's that process of sort of bringing us back, isn't there? Which obviously from a sheep point of view is going physically to get it, but actually from a spiritual point of view, which is also part of the story, is different. So I think it's that all-seeing, all-knowing thing again, to get theological about it. But yeah, okay. I put some things on here, I think, a few things, which are very much what you've said, I believe. Whack them all up there, John, or Alex. Four things there. God is passionate about us. You know, the story of that sheep who's lost, the story of that sheep is lost is that God, you know, is prepared, and it says not to leave the 99 at risk or at harm, they're safe. But actually, he's prepared to go to extraordinary lengths to find us. He's passionate about us. He doesn't give up on us, as somebody said. All those things. Passionate. He's committed to us. He's persistent with us. But also, we are of incredible value and worth. That story, if nothing else, tells us, in terms of how God views us, we are of incredible value. Yes. Absolutely. God knows everything about us and all there is to do about us. Thank you ever so much. There's another point to this story, which is a challenge. Is that sometimes we just look at this story and go, well, God is the farmer and we are the sheep. But I think there's another side to this. I think God calls us to be the sheep farmer here too. And so the challenge is, how much are we prepared to do for the lost? However you want to define lost, in inverted commas. I don't think it's just those that are a million miles away. You know, it might be people sitting next to us today. How much are you, as a sheep farmer, or as a person today, prepared to do for the lost? Look at that story in a different way around. We're going to sing a song now, and then we're going to have a sketch from the Supernovas. And again, another story that you'll recognise. This song is Nobody's a Nobody. And it's a song that gets quicker and quicker as you get through. If anybody knows the actions and wants to come up with me and Julia, they can. It goes like this. Nobody's a nobody, believe me, because it's true. Try that. Nobody's a nobody, believe me, because it's true. And then follow. Nobody's a nobody, especially not you. Nobody's a nobody, and God wants us to see that everybody's somebody, and that means even me. And then we go into the fun bit. Oh, no cartoon. Try that. I'm human. I have feelings. Treat me right. I'm not a superhero with super strength and might. I'm not a mega pop star or super athlete. But did you know I'm special? In fact, I'm quite unique. Anyone know what unique means?
Hello everybody, we've got a story here, and we've got the Supernovas here performing. It's the Prodigal Son, I'll just go through each one of them. We're going to read a verse here, a passage. And there's some actions here. So when we say Father, one of them says Father, put your hand on your back. Money, throw notes in the air, but loads of money. When you say wet, sniff and wipe your eyes like that. Party, cheers. Servant, stand about. And when we say stew, you slurp. Delicious. Right, so there you go, that sets it out. So I think Thomas, you're kicking off. Do you want to
the microphone? There once was a father who had two sons. They lived on a farm, had lots of fun. The younger one came to his father and said, "Give me some money, I'm off to the med."
Well, his father cried and he wept all day, but in the end he said, "Okay." So off the son went, money in hand. He travelled all the way to a far off land.
Then one day he raved all night and partied all day. Righteous living. Hey! Spent all his time messing around and wasting his money like a foolish clown.
Then one day his money ran out, so he did the food because of the drought. His friends all left him feeding swine, and that's when he knew things were not too far.
He thought of home in days gone by, where they had baked beans and apple pie. His father had servants who never got the sack, so he came to his senses and said, "I'll go back."
He ran back to his father's land, knelt at his feet and kissed his hand. He said he was sorry for being a buck, said, "Do you need a servant? 'Cause I need the work."
His father cried and wept for joy. He shouted out, "Look, here's my boy. Put rings on his fingers and shoes on his feet. Let's have a party.
Cheers.
With loads to eat."
So what's the point of this little poem? Who's the son ran away from poem? Who left his father and got in a stew? Well, have you ever thought that it might be you?
Well, you never know, it might be you. One day you may land in the stew, all alone with nothing to do. Well, remember the stories, 'cause it's just for you.
Fantastic. And a bow. And another one. Now you can get off.
Get off.
Fantastic. Brilliant.
Another familiar story. Same two questions for you in where you are in twos, threes, in your small groups. What does this tell us about what God is like? And what does it tell us about what God thinks of us? Go, 2 or 3 minutes in your groups, or twos or threes, or on your own. Okay. If anyone wants to feedback or give me any gems, hidden gems, any thoughts on this particular passage? Yes, young man. God forgives us. Very simple to say, but very, very profound. Miranda. Absolutely. Even when we choose to do bad things, God still loves us. You know, unconditional love. There isn't anything that would stop him loving us. There's that famous verse in the Bible, isn't there? Nothing will separate us from the love of God and God loving us. Any more? Bill. He does. Gives us that choice, didn't he, right at the beginning. Even though it pained him, he still said, okay, you go. Probably with more of an idea in that story that he knew what was going to happen. And that wasn't particularly going to be good. So that sense of going away from what the Father's will is, isn't good for us. Any others? I had a few, which are all the things that you've said, I think. Keep going, yeah. I must have spelled something wrong. So he lets us make his own choices. He's patient with us. He's personally attentive. What I mean there is that the Father, it says in the Bible, that the Father every day went to look for the Son. It wasn't like something he said, well, I'll do it this week, and then actually I'll give up for a month or two. Every day. Every day. He's forgiving, as we said over there. He wants to restore broken relationship. And the other thing is there is about grace, not works. But, the reading wasn't there, but the older son, of course, was there. And the older son felt overlooked. You know, and the reality is sometimes we can feel overlooked as people, even as Christians. But God still cares for us passionately. He said to the older son, everything I have is yours. You could have had the lot. But actually, the older son was actually about, in a sense, I've done all these things for you, Father. I've earned it. And the Father said, no, by grace you've got it, not something you earn. So we started off with amazing grace. This sense of actually it's not something we can do or achieve. It's God's grace that makes this possible. Okay. There's also a challenge here too. I think sometimes we need to look separately, differently at the way we do read the Bible sometimes. And again, the challenge here for you is about the Father. You know, we sort of look at this parable and go, well, the Father is God. So therefore, I don't look any further. But I think also God wants us to look at this passage and say, well, actually, you are the Father. You're the Father. How far would you go? How far would you go? How much would you give? And it can be quite challenging. I was at a diocese thing the other day, and this minister said, you know, I'm challenged by this because I gave basically all my life savings to her nephew or something, and he squandered them. And he lives now he's in Australia, and he wants more from her. And she says, actually, this passage has come alive. She said, if I'm the Father, what am I going to do? How do I respond? Because what I want to do is go, whew. But she said, this Bible passage says, no, I can't do that. And she's still working that through. But I was quite challenged with that. This lady minister, who's very well, quite well known. So how do we care for others? The other thing about this is when the Father stood every day, and when he ran to his son, what he did in the culture of that day is he shamed himself. He wasn't supposed to run. The son was supposed to come to him, but he ran to the son. In that culture, it wasn't something that the Father did. And again, if we're the Father, whether we're men or women, if we're the Father, if we're the mother, if you want it in this story, how much are we prepared to do? How far are we prepared to go?